Yeah, I mean, there was even a speech where he's talking about it and he says, well, oh, they can use a ladder. Well, what are they going to do when they get to the top? And then he pauses and he just thinks, well, maybe they could use a rope.
Hello and welcome to this week's League of Nerds. I am your host, or co-host, or whatever I am. I'm Buck Mulligan. This week we are asking the question, is every 4 years asking the people to choose between drinking a glass of piss and another slightly different glass of piss really a good system? Democracy, is it broken? James.
You could introduce our guest as well.
Oh, Luca, that was all terrible. I wish I had this written down in notes. This week we're with James Gurney.
But always with James, it's the League of Nerds podcast. What the fuck are you doing?
I'm fucking lost. Let me start this again. This is all staying in.
Just carry on. Just carry on. Go for it.
Edit this to make me look clever, James. I need to look clever. It's important. this week we're joined for the first time, Luca, or you might know him as My Thousand Faces. Hello, Luca.
Hello.
Luca was with me for an episode of Things That I Find Interesting recorded last week. It was very interesting, if I do say so myself.
It was.
So our main topic is democracy in general, but then Trump v. Clinton. What's everybody's thoughts on this then?
Well, I disagree with your analogy. You said it's two different flavors of piss. This time I think it's the difference between some really bad piss and a glass of semen with blood flakes in it.
Yeah. I see. You could probably say that. So I suppose we could talk about how we got to this point, because...
Well, in 1776, Trump... there was this thing with tea.
Well, okay, let's jump forward a little bit. Donald Trump came into this election as the joke candidate, as he always did.
As a reality TV star.
Yes. He came on to... So... Trump came into this thing as the joke candidate, but for some reason is now the nomination for the Republican Party. How did this happen?
He tricked everyone. He started out by paying people to attend his rallies. He was actually paying people to hold up signs at his events, and he would lie in tweets and stuff saying, oh look, I've got thousands of people at my rally, but it was really... maybe a few dozen people, half of whom he hired. And he just built off of momentum from there, and he just said crazy things, and the media covered it. You remember 4 years ago, there was a candidate running for the Republican nomination named Herman Cain.
Yep.
Yes, yeah.
He was very famous for getting in the news a lot because he just did really weird things. He had that really creepy campaign ad with this, like, almost rapey smile at the end. And he, like, quoted the Pokemon movie in a debate, and he didn't bring it up that it was the Pokemon movie, but then everyone just went, did he quote the Pokemon movie?
which line out of the Pokemon movie did he...
He quoted one of the end themes. Like, the song from the end.
He missed out. Had he done it this...
Yeah.
Had he done it this year, that would have been topical, but...
Also, the day Pokemon Go came out, Herman Cain was also trending on Twitter.
Did Herman Cain... Was it him who claimed that the pyramids were for keeping rice?
No, that's Ben Carson. He ran this year. And it was for storing grain. The pyramids are for storing grain, but at least he corrected Donald Trump on vaccines and autism. Because in one of the debates, Donald Trump said, oh, there's some controversy about it. And then Ben Carson, being a neurosurgeon, just stepped out and said, no, that's not true. I'm a doctor. You could kill people, basically. So,
well, this won't be the only people he probably kills if he gets into power, to be fair.
True.
So, what do you think at the moment the chances of Trump actually winning this are?
50-50.
I would put it a bit higher at 55-45. Mm. Maybe a bit higher because Hillary's running a very incompetent campaign.
Incompetent seems like a very, like, nice word to use there.
Well, I'm talking about the campaign side. I'm not talking about the scandal side.
You're talking about the fact that she is fucking awful?
No, I'm just talking about the campaign strategy. Her as a candidate is just a shit. That's a pile of shit on its own. But a pile of shit with a good campaign polls better, like Donald Trump.
Hey, you've been, why are you being sexist? She's a strong, competent woman. Why are you being sexist? Why are you just being sexist? Here.
I'm so sexist. Girls want to see the first president. A little girl won't be able to believe she can be president until Hillary Clinton does it.
Here. Little girls didn't think that they could support the Iraq war until Hillary Clinton did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little girls didn't think they could get millions in Wall Street donations until Hillary Clinton did it twice.
Yeah, it's like, it annoys me when people are sexist and say, try to put down Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton never imagined she'd be running for president against a person who donated money to her Senate campaign.
what do you call the guy who's taking over the Daily Show?
Trevor Noah
said, that they're the two luckiest candidates of all time because they're running against the only person they could possibly beat.
Yeah, basically, it's... No, I think Hillary would have beaten a Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz would have...
But Ted Cruz is the...
He's the Zodiac Killer.
Zodiac Killer.
How have we got here? Like... democracy, we had such like high ideals. How have we got here?
I blame the media. No, actually, no, I blame you specifically, Buck. You didn't tweet hard enough.
I blame the media too, because it incentivizes just being shitty and getting headlines. Trump hasn't needed to spend a penny on his campaign practically compared to Clinton. He's being outspent something like 80-1 in some areas.
Yeah, but that's one good, well, if you're anti-Trump, I think every of the last X amount of presidential campaigns have been won by the candidate who spent the most.
Yeah.
But Trump's turning that on his head.
Yeah, that's it. Trump's turned everything. No other candidate had said half the shit Trump has said would still be in the running.
He actually said at a rally that he could probably shoot someone in the streets and go up in the polls. And nobody thought that this was a moment for concern. People just applauded it, and it's like, oh yeah, he's so badass. He says what he means.
this is the thing, right? Because I always want a politician who's going to be open, who's going to be honest, who's going to actually say what they believe, right? And now I've got that politician.
I don't think necessarily you do.
No,
I think he says what he thinks people want to hear, but he says it in a very passionate way, like it was his idea. It's a classic tricking yourself with your own lies. Because he's anti-abortion now, he was pro-choice, he's anti-gay marriage, he was pro-gay marriage, he was a Democrat, now he's a Republican.
Because famously there's those photographs and everything else with him congratulating Obama and congratulating Bill Clinton. You know, he was friends with the Clintons.
The Clintons the Clintons were at his most recent wedding, if not all three of them.
I suppose we'll just start talking about democracy here now. Who wants to start us off talking about democracy?
It's a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Damn Greeks.
Yeah. They
crashed the Eurozone.
Yeah. Specifically those Greeks. I mean, we keep saying it's a democracy when in actual fact it isn't.
It's a representative republic.
Yeah. Which is close enough to call it democracy in day-to-day life, I suppose. But this is what I was slightly annoyed when a lot of the people... Guess what I'm going to talk about? I'm going to talk about Brexit.
Brexit.
Yay! My favorite topic ever. People are like, oh, we used to live in a democracy. It's like, no, we didn't. You're just exchanging one representation for another from the same thing.
And it's also more well-structured than some of the British representation, with a whole house of people whose parents and their parents had titles.
We've got rid of a fair bit of that so far, but we're still... Some of it. The nice thing about the States, I suppose, is they do have three separate branches of government, and the president doesn't have as much power as people believe they do.
Yeah, he doesn't have any legislative control.
Yeah.
I mean, he can veto
can do,
bills.
He can
veto.
Yeah, and the special orders, what are they called?
Executive orders.
Executive orders, yeah.
But those are typically direct policies. Those aren't new policy, they're just new ways of enforcing...
Yeah, existing
legislation.
Yeah. So and it's not that... I mean...
Well, they also have a full control over all negotiation of treaties and all of that stuff.
Yeah, which I can imagine both these people would be particularly good at doing.
Well, it was Hillary Clinton's job for a few years, unfortunately.
Yeah. I, several of my friends were in the state was sort of before Sanders became too bad behind the polls with the superdelegates?
Superdelegates. Yeah. Well, he was bad from the beginning. He was down by 300 or something.
Yeah, before. but before they declared, most of them declared, there were several people saying, you know, they shouldn't pick the next Democratic candidate based on it's their turn to be the candidate.
Exactly.
Seems to be Hillary Clinton's campaign in a nutshell.
Especially with the recent revelations courtesy of most likely the Russian government.
Yeah, thanks, Russia. all that said, though, I'd still drink the glass of piss over the glass
of piss with blood in it.
No, with blood in it.
It was cum with blood in it, and that's Donald Trump.
Yeah, I'd drink the piss.
Yeah.
But the problem is with this, right, is, okay, right, so you're going to drink the piss this time. But
no.
When this next election comes, there's a reason why people have rejected.
Yeah.
Have rejected the establishment, because Hillary Clinton is the establishment. She is the embodiment
she's the man,
of the establishment.
Oddly enough.
She is the man. And this rejection, so is that going to go away the next time? But
probably not. But the thing I'm doing is, well, since I'm an actual American citizen and can vote in this thing, it's very unlikely that my state's going to go to Hillary. The state I absentee to is Missouri. Missouri's probably going to go to Trump. If there's any chance it won't, I'll vote for Hillary. But I'll vote for, you know, all the state and legislative elections, because those are a lot more important no matter who gets in power.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with stuff like Supreme Court nominations. Obama's getting his Supreme Court nomination blocked in a completely obstructionist manner by the Republican Congress, even though he's well within his powers to nominate a Supreme Court justice up until the day that the new president takes the oath of office. So
yeah, I did like the whole thing. Oh, it's never happened before. A president's never elected a state official, a judge in the last year or so the term, and he's like, no, it has. It's happened like four times since 1920.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's never happened. He's like, no, it has. It's happened here, here, and here. It's there's no difference.
Exactly. And it's not like he picked some radical leftist. He picked a centrist Democrat.
Yeah. Who all the Republicans have said, well, most of them have said, he is an ideal candidate in lots of senses. We just don't think it's right that Obama gets to choose.
Yeah.
Like, no, Obama does get to choose. That is his power as president.
Well, they've been very upset that he is president for the last 8 years, no matter what the people said. I mean, this isn't even like a Bush-Gore situation where Al Gore basically won the popular vote but didn't win the election. Obama trashed both McCain and Romney. He had massive popular support. He ruined it in the first term because he could have passed through all the good stuff right away, but
Why didn't Obama pass through all the good stuff when he had the chance?
Because of the conventional wisdom, probably. He wanted to be reelected. He thought he could do more in 8 years than he could in four. He was afraid if he pushed too hard, probably he would, you know, end up getting booted out in the second election, or at worst, damaging the Democrats in the midterm, because, you know, every 2 years they have legislative elections.
Uh-huh.
So A good deal of it has to do with the fact that a presidential candidate spends half of their first term campaigning, essentially.
Yes.
And if Obama had pushed a bit harder, there might not be as much, what's the, resentment against the establishment, because they haven't tackled a bunch of the issues that people have had problems with. The financial market has been, I mean, okay, there's been Dodd-Frank, that's, you know, not too bad, but the big issue is that there haven't been any substantive reforms. Obamacare was a half measure, even though most people supported the public option, yeah. Or...
So the public, well, just let's talk about the public option for a moment, because it's one of the things that I'm most interested in, because Obama was extremely pro public option, and then while he had all the cards, while he had all the power, dropped it.
He probably dropped it because he was afraid that if he pushed it through, that's what the Republicans would campaign on, him forcing it down their throats, even though that was the narrative for Obamacare from day one.
So, what about the, my general thinking of it is it was because the health insurance companies, well, the Obamacare ended up being a big payday for the health insurance companies
of course,
anyway.
No. Yes.
So the single payer was the thing that the health insurance companies didn't want. And as we know now, this Hillary has said that she won't support single payer. And within the, I think it was 2 weeks within Hillary Clinton coming out and being very forceful, saying that she would not support it, she received whatever $100 million from separate health insurance companies.
Actually, so, I think she's in favor of it now.
Has she changed her opinion again?
I think she might have, simply because of
Bernie Sanders.
Probably, yeah. I mean, she already pushed some issues. She's pushed on some issues to the left, like the minimum wage and stuff like that, because of Sanders. She was at $12 an hour. Now she's at $15 an hour.
But the problem is with Hillary Clinton saying this is,
you don't believe her.
Will say whatever the fuck she has to say because she has no soul.
But she will also do whatever she needs to do because she has no soul. So if you hold her feet to the fire, probably she'll do something, even though with what she did after the DNC leak, I'm not sure about that either.
So if I was, we'll go back to trying to have this conversation. Why does democracy clearly works? Like,
does it?
Well, kinda. Okay.
Well, look at the places with democracy and compare it to the places without democracy. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ!
Where doesn't have democracy right now?
Saudi Arabia, China. There's two places without democracy, and name me one country without a democracy that has more civil liberties, more human rights, more, you know, options and freedoms for the civilians that compared to a country with democracy. Name one.
Bahrain.
Where?
Bahrain.
Bahrain.
Yeah. They're doing pretty all right.
No, they don't have any civil liberties.
Okay, right, so obviously question. The answer is there isn't any.
I don't know. I'm sure someone in the comments will point out and say, I think you're fine. What's Iceland's deal?
They got Iceland's a democracy.
Yeah.
Ah, fucking Icelanders. Greenland?
if you can think of a country that you would like to live in, that's a democracy. There are no... So at one point, everything was... controlled mostly by a king, and then England had, you know,
Vatican City.
That's the fucking perfect example. All Catholicism all the way.
I think it has the lowest age of consent in all of Europe.
You're really selling this place now.
The highest crime rate.
Yes,
it does.
I don't believe that. Yeah. You get to get pickpocketed in there. Very
it's something like yeah, exactly. It's something like 500 per capita or something case of crime. There's Vietnam. That's not a democracy.
Again, but you're talking about countries with enormous amounts of poverty.
Saudi Arabia.
I still think you.
Cuba. Fuck you, Cuba. Great healthcare, fantastic healthcare, great baseball teams, lovely beaches.
Again, huge amounts of poverty, lack
wonderful cigars, classic old cars.
the American 1960s car museum, as they call it. I can't make no. You're still the best you've come up with. Cuba, and Cuba isn't a great one.
Singapore.
Yeah.
I think
What is the? I used to live in Singapore. I should know this. What's the government structure in Singapore?
I think it's a monarchy.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, like, I think they have a pseudo democracy.
They have a pseudo democracy, but a lot of decisions are made undemocratically.
Yeah. Well, let's just agree, because this statement is just correct. Democracies are just by default better than non-democracies.
No. You're doing a false equivalence here. Civil liberties tend to be in places that have democratic methods.
Because they're fucking attached.
No. They're not attached.
Yes, they are attached.
Of course they're not. You could have.
You could hypothetically have, but you don't have.
But that's still a false equivalence. You can't say just because they tend to happen together that they're always attached. You could have a government system which was completely dictatorial, that had all the civil liberties you want. You could do whatever you like.
You could in theory have that system. But
doesn't need air quotes.
I know, but I'm getting so bugged that you're even making this argument. That system could happen, it exists within the realms of possibility, but it would never, ever happen, and it has never, ever happened.
Yeah, it must have happened sometime.
Must have happened.
The kingdom of...
King Arthur.
Ah, no, what was... Not Malta, what's the other place? The one next to Greece. What was that island called?
Crete.
Atlantis.
Not Crete.
Cyprus.
Not Cyprus, no.
Atlantis.
Crete.
Atlantis.
You're thinking Atlantis. Why are you so desperate to find some? Because
it's not. Because it's a false. This
is a statement of reality. You're being too hard on democracy here now.
It was Cyprus. They used to be run by a bunch of knights, and they had a pretty democratic system, a pretty libertarian system without democracy.
Yeah, but all the peasant class got fucked.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they fucking what.
They had a great time. They could have left. They could have left any time they liked, and they didn't.
They got a lot of exercise. Yeah. Got to spend all day outdoors.
Yeah, had a great time.
They had wenches. Wenches are pretty good.
Yeah,
James is the poster boy for the bourgeoisie, and I feel like I need to have a.
I think a scientific elite is how the way to go forward. We should just leave.
Go full Plato.
Yeah, but
Plato can suck my balls.
That was the title of my political philosophy essay.
Okay, right. So let's look at all the places that have civil liberties, or the places with democracy. So basically, what happens is you have one person who's in charge and in control. Power never ever wants to give away power. Power wants to hold on to power.
The most democratic nation on the planet is probably one of the worst places to live.
What's that?
The most democratic nation on the planet is probably one of the worst places to live.
Which is
North Korea. People's like that. It has it in the name. What's their name? Democratic People's Republic of North Korea.
Yeah, it's super democracy.
People's Democratic.
They have a 90% voting rate.
I think guy Saddam Hussein actually won his last election. I think he got 99.9%.
Yeah,
super cool guy. But okay, right? Because I like the talk about democracy. Okay, right. So we have a person. So we used to have kings sitting at the top who controlled everything.
And then the Greeks had this idea.
Let's just keep it sort of in England, where I'm going to talk about Magna Carta. So then Magna Carta comes in. The king loses his power, and we say, okay, God has not given you all this power. We're going to divide this power down. And so suddenly, that power has been brought down and spread out. And so you suddenly have controls put in place. Now, Magna Carta took a long time before it went in and went out of favour, but it set a precedent. And over a period of time, till we get to say the French Revolution, even the French Revolution, but we have these periods of people taking power away from dictatorships.
Exactly. And when people... the other problem is that in those situations, it has to happen slowly.
Yes, totally.
Because otherwise you get what happened in France.
Yes.
Because then you get guillotines, and then this other guy that decides to conquer Europe takes over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And because, in a sense, because power doesn't want to leave, it ends up becoming more unstable. You get more... I mean, Britain's history is one of succession wars.
Yes.
France didn't have as much of a problem with it, but there were issues with succession. And without, you know... Even the Vatican had it. There was the anti-pope for a while.
Several. My favorite. Well, yeah. When I first heard about anti-popes, it was the best thing that I ever heard about. I declare myself a pope now. Everyone. I need at least 20 of you to write a letter to the Vatican declaring me pope, and I can be officially declared an anti-pope.
Hmm.
I know two priests. I can get them to write it.
Fucking... Yeah,
I probably couldn't get them to do it, though one of them would probably laugh.
Anti-Pope Buck Mulligan. So we have these systems. So basically, if there is a people who have no control over their destiny, and there is no reason for the ruling elite to give them any power, to give them any civil liberties, and they won't. Civil liberties are taken. Always taken, they are never given. And so now we are in this position of... Come on, James, give me the examples.
Let me think of a time when civil liberties were given. I believe New Zealand allowed women to vote without any sort of suffragettes or anything like that.
Okay, all right. The fact that we're jumping to fucking New Zealand... I mean, the fact that we're going to New Zealand... Population of six people.
Size doesn't matter. You said any position. I've been reviewing papers all day today, so I'm going to pick is
civil. Well, yeah, as a rule of thumb, we'll leave New Zealand as a possibility to say. But liberties and privileges are taken from the state. They're never given.
Didn't Hitler institute a 40-hour work week?
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Are we arguing for Hitler as a civil liberties guy now?
You said look for one example where it was given. I gave you one example of probably the worst dictator in European history.
Yeah. Okay, I need to.
I think I broke you.
But you know, it hasn't broke me because at the same time he was like murdering 5 million Jews. So it's like, oh yeah, here's a 40-hour work week for. I'm sure it was only white. I'm sure it wasn't for everybody. I'm sure it was for a class of people or whatever. But I'm, you know,
I think it was for non-Jewish German citizens.
Non-Jewish German citizens, and I'm sure there were, you know, unions and stuff involved in this as well. I'm sure it wasn't just Hitler just decided I want to do this. I'm sure there was, again, from the bottom, people making this happen and forcing this through.
There was also the Roman Emperor. I forgot his name. But he was twice elected to be
Marcus Aurelius.
Marcus Aurelius.
Is that the one who's twice elected to be the supreme leader and then gave
the
back power twice?
Yeah, he handed back power. So your two examples happened over 2,000 years ago, and the second.
Well, no, I said New Zealand. That happened like in the 1920s.
No, so your one. So one.
I've given you an example
over 2,000 years ago, and the other one was New Zealand.
No, again, you just said give me one example. There's your example. Stop trying to change the goalpost, but.
Okay, we're speaking extremely...
And even with democracy, sometimes civil liberties take a while to come about.
Totally. This is an extremely slow process, and it needs to come from the bottom up.
Exactly. Like Ireland and Malta both only legalized divorce in the lifetime of everyone on this show.
Yeah, legalized condoms in the fucking lifetime of everybody listening to this show. And that came from a groundswell, from the bottom up.
Well, also, Malta legalized divorce in... only 5 years ago, so...
It's...
Goddamn Catholic Church.
So, if I think it was also Churchill's famous quote, of all the systems available, democracy is most certainly the worst, but only after all the rest of them. It's democracy is...
He would say that, though.
Yeah.
He was a prick.
He also said, in response to being told he's drunk, yes, but tomorrow I'll be sober, and tomorrow you will still be ugly.
Yeah, you're so, okay.
My foot as well once. But I don't know.
So James, what like your plutonic system of government were a ruling elite, an intellectual ruling. So how is this intellectual ruling elite selected?
Probably with some sort of Klingon style battle royale to quell any, because I mean, smart people tend to be reasonably about the same intelligence. You know, they're quite smart; they can do the same thing. But you need to make sure there's no uprising or attempt to take over, because that's just produces stability. So you need to have the most physically fit. Or
what if they can
aggressive.
Just use? What if they can just use technology that they've invented themselves?
Oh no! That's not allowed. That's not allowed. Because then it would just be full of engineers and.
Yeah,
society would literally crumble within seconds.
No, society would turn into a weird steampunk Vulcan society, and nobody wants that.
We need some sort of like unusually shaped weapon, shirts off, 20 minutes in the ring, last one out. That's the representative of the area.
Though for the first few years, I don't think you're going to get very fit competitors.
Why not?
Well, because just the distribution of physically fit, smart people isn't even around the world. Let's.
Oh no!
That.
There'd be some sort of cutoff.
Take us away from this. This is really enthralling conversation, which it's not. Kate Shepherd was the most prominent member of New Zealand's women's suffrage movement. So okay,
there's, all
right. We have one example now.
I still have the Hitler 40-hour work week.
We'll come back.
Didn't someone? Why was I reading that someone saying fascism was a left? It was Armin Skeptic was saying. Yes, I still don't fucking get his video on that because it's not a left policy.
No, it was a populist policy, kind of.
Yeah, but
it was authoritarian populism.
But it's my A level politics is coming back. It's the third way to do things. It's something that chooses between capitalism and a socialist agenda. But it's incredibly doesn't matter. This isn't the conversation to have this year. He also said something which else was idiotic, saying that it's the lowest unemployment levels in American history, the highest unemployment levels in American history.
It just isn't.
I don't know where he got that idea from.
And it's not even the lowest in the last 16 years.
Yeah. It's actually on a drop at the moment now. Quite substantially.
Are you sure he actually said that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He said it a couple of times. He's talking about immigration and saying, you know, you guys have got the highest unemployment figures of American history, and you wonder why people are worried about immigrants. It's like, well, they don't. Even when you count in U6 unemployment, which people are like, oh no, you gotta look at the U6 figures. U6 figures for the Great Depression were 50%.
Yeah.
U6 now is still about 10%. So.
I had people literally holding up signs, "We'll work for food," unironically.
Mm-hmm. So,
democracy.
Back to democracy.
It's the best. I agree with Churchill. It's the best of the worst situation. But
it needs to be tempered with some expert knowledge. That's why we have professional politicians. But then you have situations like here in Malta, and I think in the UK, cabinet positions are chosen from Parliament.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's why Michael Gove, a person with a degree in journalism, was put ahead of education.
Exactly. They put someone that was just a teacher at the head of education here in Malta, and it didn't turn out well. And they also gave her when they reshuffled the cabinet, they also reshuffled the things under each ministry, and they put stuff like World Heritage under education, and she wasn't prepared for that. I mean, you get all sorts of these anomalies. At least in the United States, they can pick from whoever the hell they want.
So, okay, well I'm just going to just jump back into democracy again. I think a large, as I've mentioned, since rights are taken, not given, what the establishment ultimately want to do is create the illusion of choice. What an establishment wants to do is, oh, well, you're getting to have your vote and you're getting to have your say, but in reality, you're getting to choose between, slightly, centre-right or right. You know, that is your option. you know, you it's the illusion of choice you're being given. You take in America, for example, the foreign policy of Obama and George Bush.
Very similar.
Very similar. Hillary Clinton, the Democrat, like, as
she's to the right of Obama.
She's to the right of Bush in areas. She's to the right of Bush in as far as Israel's concerned.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that
reminds
me.
And I know that's really sexist for me to point that statement out.
Yeah, no, of course, incredibly sexist. But there was a statement recently, and it kind of goes to how democracy fails, where you have people who can say things whatever they want, and journalists fail to fact-check them, or the people simply don't care. Trump said recently, the greatest enemy of Israel has been Obama. And someone asked, what about Hamas? And he didn't know what Hamas was. And he doesn't know the difference between Hamas and Hezbollah, when he does supposedly know what Hamas is. I mean, you can have these people that say, you know, part of the problem with democracy is you don't vote for who's best, you vote for who you want to vote for. There are people who want to vote for Donald Trump simply because Hillary screwed over the Democratic nomination process and Sanders never got a real shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's the nuclear option.
So there is this where we have an established power which has most of the control. What they were always fit to do pre-internet was you would block out the people that you didn't want. So a Sanders would have got blocked out. He would not have even heard of. A Donald Trump would have been blocked out. You would not have even heard about these people.
The only way you would have heard about them is if they were a prominent figure in California or New York or Texas, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Because bigger areas.
Exactly. You'd need to be big on a state level to the point where if you're the governor of California, you can't really be ignored by the media.
Yes. So what has happened is the establishment has slightly, because of the insane rhetoric that right-wing media has been using
for years, yes,
to control and scare people. There's an actual letter from Richard Nixon to I think it might have been Lyndon B. Johnson. I might be wrong, but there is this letter where Nixon can't get over how easy it is to make people vote for him. All he has to do is, he says this, all you have to do is scare them. Just blame the blacks.
Or the Mexicans.
But what Nixon was talking about cannabis, and I was blaming the blacks on that there.
You mean the Negro weed.
Yeah, and so it was this. He just worked this out, and it's this amazing thing to him. It was, I can get people to do whatever I want. I just have to scare them. And so the right have been using that tactic.
Oh, it's true. And Donald Trump's kind of mastered it, especially because of his background as a reality star. Nobody took him seriously from the beginning. So if he says a ridiculous thing, or if he makes fun of a disabled reporter, people just go, oh, it's just Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's... there is a fundamental disconnect between what people care about half the time and what people vote for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you heard of What's the Matter with Kansas?
No, what's this?
It's a book. I can't remember the author. They also, I think, made a documentary or a documentary series about it. Basically about the state of Kansas, which is a very rural, very farming. It's a farming... I've driven through it. It's flatter than a pancake.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all cornfields. And you consistently, people from Kansas vote against their own interests. They elect corporatist right-wing politicians, they vote for Republicans, and in the end, the policies that these politicians pass generally hurt the working people of Kansas.
Yeah.
And this guy examined what's the matter with it, and he examined all these psychological things. I really wish I had read it in preparation for this, because I just remembered that I own it. But it's worth looking into to see just why people act the way they do and even how they handle dishonesty.
But it's very easy to say this about the right, but the left is just...
perfect.
And I'm saying right and left as if these fucking mean anything. They're totally useless, meaningless terms.
With the exception of social issues in the States, yeah, they're completely meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you wouldn't have had, you know, a Supreme Court overturn, a Supreme Court rule that gay marriage is legal throughout the country if Mitt Romney was in, McCain had won the election instead of Obama.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's in the left, with the left, it, especially now with Hillary, you know, seizing control and ignoring and going further right, even with her VP pick, who she literally picked she might as well have picked Mitt Romney, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But you have this situation where there was an actual leftist insurgency. They even walked out at the convention.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they're just being told, oh, you're immature. Oh, you're just being babies. Where
being sore losers.
Yeah, exactly. They're it's almost
that's how
like
democracy works.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was gonna say that's how democracy works. Minorities can't say anything.
Yeah, and even worse. I mean, after the DNC emails came out, they found out that the DNC was completely complicit in pushing Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz, after being fired, stepping down of her own free will from the Democratic National Convention, she got hired to a ceremonial position in Hillary's campaign and still is a surrogate.
This is all part of this perceived idea of choice. So
the higher up you get, the worse it gets, but on lower levels it does exist. I mean, elections.
Where it doesn't really matter as much. So the more it matters, the less actual say and choice it is. It's the 1% of the 1% who are pushing these agendas, who are pushing for wars, who are pushing for sanctions against countries. And then we have a media that sells these ideas to the general population.
Oh, of course.
So there's one thing I don't follow here, Buck. You're saying that there's a lack of choice. It's just there's maybe perceived choice.
It's perceived choice, yeah.
How then did Trump get the nomination if we don't have the choice? That was clearly a popular movement.
But Trump is the game changer, as we were all talking about.
Well, he was the game changer until he picked.
Yeah, I'm very confident Trump is going to come in and he's going to be just a puppet, the same as everybody else. I can't imagine he's going to.
Did you hear what there were? John Kasich, was supremely anti-Trump, and recently a couple of his aides came forward and said that Donald Trump's son approached John Kasich saying, "You can have the VP slot, and we'll give you all control over foreign policy and domestic policy." So when asked what Donald Trump would be doing, he said, "Making America great again." So basically, it would be, you get none of the credit, all of the power, but Donald Trump will reap the benefits of your rewards. Unfortunately, I don't think Donald Trump thought this through because, you know, if Kasich screwed up, it would be all his fault. But there are even people who are saying that Trump probably didn't even want to win in the first place. He was
I think he was coming on to sell his new book.
Exactly.
And then it's...
Which he didn't write.
Yeah.
And the ghostwriter said something...
So many things.
Yeah.
There was a tweet... The first thing he said when he announced his candidacy, one of them was, "We need the person who wrote The Art of the Deal to be president." So the guy that ghost wrote it for him wrote, "I'm very happy Donald Trump endorsed me for president of the United States, but I don't feel like getting into politics," or something. And it's insane, because Trump still claims he wrote the book.
He has... It is, in large part, a failure of the schooling system that Donald Trump is doing so well. Careful now.
People will accuse you of saying the Republicans are idiots.
No, Donald
Trump loves the poorly educated.
Yeah, I love the poorly educated.
You keep doing Bernie Sanders whenever you do Trump as well.
I don't think I've done a Bernie Sanders impersonation, but I'm sure it'd be pretty similar. This is the reality, is Trump is insane. It's Kim Kardashian. Like, you know the way people talk about Kim Kardashian being like an excellent businesswoman. Donald Trump seems to be on sort of the same level as Kim Kardashian.
A bit worse, because Kim Kardashian hasn't been known for stiffing people on bills and
or
you know,
discriminating against black people.
Bankrupt four like, times.
Yeah.
Bankrupt's been fine, but like having a company that actively discriminates against black people for renting properties
Literally, there are so many stories of people saying, Donald Trump didn't pay me. His lawyers basically said, if you sued us, you'd win, but it would take you years because my job is to make it as expensive and time-consuming as possible for you to do this to us. Hmm. And, you know, that's not a good businessman. That's a basic, you know, type A bully. I mean, at least the Kardashians just exploit people's stupidity. They don't really screw anyone over in the process.
So, Donald Trump's wall, what's that going to be like?
Fictional.
As big as his hands.
Did you see the little wall they put around his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
That was adorable.
Yeah. There was a breakdown of the costs of the wall, and I think John Oliver even did one.
Yeah.
And within the first 3 to 4 years, it would double in price for maintenance costs.
And wouldn't work even remotely.
Yeah, I mean, there was even a speech where he's talking about it, and he says, well, oh, they can use a ladder. Well, what are they going to do when they get to the top? And then he pauses, and he just thinks, well, maybe they could use a rope.
These Mexicans are tricky, aren't they?
Bring two ladders. You're at the top, you can just lift the other ladder up and pull it down.
Or the other thing, you could just, you know, let's say if it's not immigration, if it's a drug smuggling, you can throw it over a wall. The cartels already have air cannons that shoot bundles of, like, cocaine over the walls.
The big cartels already have planes.
Yeah, submarines. They have submarines and tunnels that lead to, like, Southern California. The majority of this drug smuggling is probably done by mules with American citizenship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the Mexicans saying we're not going to pay for it, and then Donald Trump saying, "Oh, well, we're in a trade deficit with Mexico, so we can just charge them." It's like that's not how trade works, Donald.
He also said the wall got 10 feet higher.
Yeah.
I am going to add a massive amount to this already gargantuan construction project just to spite Mexico.
Well, Mexico... this idea that immigration is going down massively for Mexico.
Immigration
to America, so...
I mean, most illegals anyway aren't even from Mexico. They're visa overstays. Mm. Building a border wall won't stop someone from staying on an expired visa like James plans to do.
Hush there. I'm in France.
You'll soon be an illegal immigrant there. There's a wonderful thing about perceived choice as well. So Brexit. So the British public have voted to leave.
What's this thing?
Have you not heard about it yet, James?
It doesn't sound very interesting. It sounds like something.
It sounds like a bad cereal.
Yeah, terrible cereal. It's got racism in it.
Cereal, racist cereal bar. I don't know what you mean. Of course, if you say that, people might assume that you're talking about the Leave campaign being racist when you just said
If you say the word Ghostbusters, you're implying that everyone who doesn't like Ghostbusters.
Did you see
sexist.
It yet?
If
oh,
you
see I, Ghostbusters? I love Bill Murray.
How can you be sexist against Bill Murray?
Because he's a massive homophobe, apparently. I don't know.
Is he?
No, I don't know. I'm just...
The more you know. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Pat Mulligan, libeling Bill Murray.
So now what is happening is Theresa May is buying time. So instead of, I'm going to hit the button, I'm going to do Article 50 straight away.
All she said was Brexit means Brexit, which is true. Literally. You look up Brexit. The word Brexit, it means Brexit.
Potato means potato.
Yeah.
So they're not. So they've stalled saying because Scotland could veto it, even though Scotland can't veto it. That's fucking nonsense.
It's This is the
they could veto it with freedom.
Theresa May is making claims about today about, oh, well, the Irish, the border between the Republic and the Northern Ireland isn't going to come back. She's going to say a soft border. A claim. She can't make this.
Yeah. I think Ireland will have something to say about that.
Well, no, she it was
fuck
with
the Irish.
It was with Enda Kenny. It was today. Yesterday she was speaking with the Irish Taoiseach, and she said the border won't come back. But she can't. It's the EU who's going to have the say in this. She can't just say that. And so
it would be funny if the EU turned around and said, "No, the border has to come back," because the EU has always been about lack of borders.
Yeah.
And Ireland and the UK had to get an exception made because they're an island. They said islands are different, so it'd be weird for them to turn around and say, oh no, we need a border.
It's so we have this issue with politicians just saying things, just lying and creating, oh well, you voted, so we're going to do it for you. Aren't you, you're way clever making this vote, aren't you? Very good. You're way good. Oh, and the fucking
now.
And the fucking plebs go, all right, well, we won the vote, now that's what's going to happen. Now Theresa May is going to do what she said, and democracy won. Did I? Yeah, you're a fucking pleb that's been played, is what.
Yeah.
You are. That's what it is. They're not going to do a full-on Brexit because that will damage the economy, and the rich people really don't want that. Now, and I don't know.
Well, I mean, part of the issue is that checking up on whether or not politicians are doing their job isn't entertaining.
Yes, this is the
major issue. It will be entertaining if Donald Trump becomes president, but in the wrong way. It'll be entertaining, like watching the Atlas Shrugged films is entertaining.
So just now you mentioned Donald Trump as president, how long potentially could a nuclear winter last?
I don't know. It depends on how great the exchange is. And I think they've recently recalculated it because they found out that, like, Sagan and them were over compensating for the amount of fires it would cause, but
yeah, it's not as big as it would be, but
it depends on the size of the exchange. But I don't think Donald Trump will start a nuclear war, simply because unless he can guarantee his own billionaire lifestyle post exchange.
You see, this is the problem, right? Because see, when people are given an enormous fucking amount of power, and as unchecked as that power is, as the president has, It changes them. So you have Obama, who's killed how many ever thousand innocent people with drone strikes, regularly makes jokes about drone strikes.
Yeah.
So now you take someone who quite possibly is a sociopath.
Yeah, and give them. I mean, I just don't think he'd use nukes. I'm not going to say he's going to have a peaceful presidency, but. I mean,
well, his official motto on the military was, let me just pull it up, what he said for the military.
I tweeted this.
This is on his
website. Oh, yes, I know. It's like a third grader wrote it.
I will make our military so big, powerful, and strong that no one will mess with us.
And he wrote it out in crayon.
You know, he actually writes messages in gold Sharpie.
Yep.
I mean, that's...
Hillary Clinton voters, you are to fucking blame for this because you are fucking plebs. I hate every single one of you.
Yeah,
I hate plebs. I fucking hate plebs. I hate if you're going, I'm Team Democrat, and I'm going
to
support Democrat because I'm a Democrat.
I have to point out something. This has been a point of contention with me and my father. We're
yes.
both liberals. My father's a professor.
Yeah.
And he supported Hillary. He actually supported Hillary more the last time round with Obama, but... this time he thought she has a better chance of winning over Bernie, and I kept saying to him, but that's not the point, even if it was true, because every poll where they ran Bernie or Hillary against Trump, Bernie did much better against Trump. Because I think a shoe with a wig on it would beat Donald Trump in a debate and in an election.
I would like to see that debate. Huge.
Look at this small shoe. It's a loser shoe. It's on the ground. Look at his hair. It's fake. At least I got real hair.
Loser. his way of presenting himself. Why does that appeal to people so much? Is it just that we've been so? Because if someone says to me, "I'm supporting Hillary Clinton," I go, "All right, well, you're a pleb, but I understand why you support your party, and you've been sold ideas, and you're not that interested in, I can understand why someone would support Hillary Clinton, but if someone says, "I'm supporting Donald Trump," my immediate reaction is, "Oh, you have brain damage."
Careful.
I don't say that as much as I say, I completely don't understand. I get one part of it, of the anti-establishment thing. I supported Bernie. I thought he was a better candidate, but Trump also pushed it.
Bernie is a terrible, terrible candidate.
Why?
He has absolutely no confidence or self-principles. He keeps banging on about, oh, we need to listen about global warming. The science says this about global warming. Completely mute about what the science says about GMOs. Every other day I see someone tweeting him, "What about the GMOs? The science on that's pretty clear, Bernie."
No, that is the one. But at least he only supports labeling.
Yeah.
No. He's pretty anti. Oh, yeah.
He drove the labeling laws of Vermont, which pushed everything around. They can have.
Bernie Sanders is a shit politician. Sorry to anyone who's like massively pro Bernie Sanders. He's anti establishment. That's why you like him. You're being naive. You're exactly the same thing as you're saying about Donald Trump.
I'm just going to mute your audio here so if you're going to hear me. The fact that he has fought the establishment this much to get to the position where he has got, with them fighting him the whole way, makes him an incredible politician.
You mean like Trump? You're talking about Trump there, someone who's fought the establishment all the way through and got to the position. What a fantastic politician.
Let me just go to the GMO thing first, just before we move away from that, right?
The GMO thing, right, so Bernie Sanders is wrong in that, fair enough.
Yeah, he is.
He did not support the Iraq war. So there's a fucking enormous, enormous thing. The GMO thing's one thing which I have an issue with, but his foreign policy isn't fascist.
His foreign policy, his domestic policy, his crack... I mean, honestly, there's no politician I'm ever going to support that's going to support everything, that's always going to be right about all of the things that I think are right. I think being wrong about GMOs, which honestly is an important issue, but it's one where you can change your policy, you know, without ruining, you know, your...
Without blowing up political Iraq.
Exactly. Or without ruining your reputation. I mean, if he changes his mind on GMOs, it's not like he's changing his mind on financial market regulations. It's not a cornerstone of his campaign.
But it's hypocrisy. He's going on about how...
It is hypocrisy. I agree. But... Yeah. There's no human being that isn't somewhat hypocritical.
Me.
I just watched the documentary Dishonesty. It's about the study of behavioral economics into dishonesty and how people cheat. And I think that really frames how both Trump and Hillary are in the position they're in. Hillary has been lying to herself since day one that she deserves this nomination and it's hers to take. She didn't say she needed to earn it. Even though she lost the last primary she participated in, she believes she deserves it. So every step of her campaign was informed by this. She ran as the candidate, not as a contender. Yeah. With Donald Trump, you had the opposite. He came out in as a complete outsider, but his lie to himself wasn't, "I deserve this." It was, "I would do this better than every politician because I'm such a good businessman." And that's what he said, because he's convinced himself throughout the years that he's so great because he's so rich. And he's only so rich because he was born rich. And so even worse, he's not really a anti-establishment candidate. He's an establishment person running as an anti-establishment candidate.
Like the Tea Party.
Yeah, he also ran... he donated money to politicians. He himself stated, "I know why these politicians vote for things, because I used to give them money." And he just admitted to being on the opposite side of the exchange, and that means we're supposed to trust him to be president instead of just acting out of his own self-interest.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, and it's rubbed off on the American people, too. They've kept hearing these lies told so emphatically, and it's made them distrust the establishment, because every time you hear a lie, you hear, you just go, oh, it's just what a politician does. But when Donald Trump says something that is a lie, but he says something that the media reports on for a week because it's so insane, like John McCain isn't a war hero because he got captured.
Losers get caught.
Exactly. They go, oh, they're only saying this because he's the anti-establishment candidate. And that's the narrative they built around him instead of, oh, he just called a person who got tortured for his country not a war hero. Mm-hmm. A man who literally can't lift his arms above the shoulder now because of his torture.
I'm making fun of the disabled.
I have one for you as well. How do you make John McCain upset? You ask him for a high five.
What?
Because he can't lift his arm above the shoulder.
How can you criticize? How can you say that and then make that joke?
Because I'm making it as a joke. I am not saying...
We shouldn't trust veterans who are captured.
Exactly. I'm saying,
they're
you
not
know...
real heroes.
I'm just making a joke about how horrible the situation is. And McCain isn't exactly the nicest guy, but... I mean, he's blamed Obama for, like, the Paris attack.
This Obama guy gets around a lot.
Yeah.
He
is simultaneously a fascist, totalitarian, authoritarian dictator and a bumbling, incompetent fool who lets every opportunity slip through his fingers to the Republicans. Yeah. You had the same issue with
Bush. He was a Muslim, according to one of the Republican speakers at the conference.
Yeah, who was on a reality TV show.
Oh, really? Is that where that guy's from?
He was from a reality TV show.
Was it Duck Dynasty guy again?
No, it was a different one. They had
was
at
Duck
least...
Dynasty guy there?
Yes. His son was there, I think.
I seen him on the news. Yeah, he was seen on a video from yesterday. And he goes, Jesus coming back soon. You know that when you're watching the news. What news is this fucker watching?
And you had the same issue with Bush, where people weren't assessing his performance accurately. I mean, people were saying, oh, he invaded Iraq because he's just a bloodthirsty bigot or a Hitler. He did it for very corporatist, nation-building, neocon reasons. It wasn't because he thinks Muslims are the bad people, but you had people acting like he was literally Hitler, just like you have people acting like Obama is literally Hitler, like you have people acting like Hillary and Trump are literally Hitler.
Because we have a general population who can only deal with rhetoric. They can only deal with small amounts of snippets of information and will only take on board things that go along with what they already believe.
So this is the Ivory Towers podcast now, right?
Now that Miles is gone, chucked him out.
It makes me sad. This has depressed me. This episode is literally making me feel bad.
That's why I've been drinking heavily throughout the whole podcast.
I said no when you first suggested this, and then you came back
to me and said, "Just do it. Fuck it."
On that note, we've got some questions. I actually put this on Facebook, so we should get onto those.
Okay.
So, what have people been saying on the old Facebook? Let me just bring this one up. So, it's a question for you, Buck. So, John Hardy asks, who would you vote for, Miles and James?
Okay, right. I read this earlier on, and earlier on I was thinking... probably James, because Miles is whole... No, but again, I said probably James at that time. But now, after talking to you, thinking that you would probably install some sort of dictatorship.
No, he would install a platonic republic with a bred class of scholar rulers. That's what Plato argued for, where they literally selected people after they were like 12 to be philosopher kings.
They have gold cloaks. It looks so good in the sun.
But my major issue with like a Miles power presidency is all the weird furry shit he'd probably install.
He would make the national sport Pokemon.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be the Pokemon you're thinking of. It'd be a lot more poking.
Oh God, I'm remembering horrible things I've seen on the internet now.
Yeah, Miles Parr put a lot of that stuff up.
Andrew asks, if Trump gets elected, will the stock markets crash? Should we all pile gold and possibly Pokemon characters? I actually think, I don't know if the stock markets will crash. I'd imagine there'd be a decline in stock value. That tends to happen
when something unpredicted happens.
No, I think every time a new president's elected, the stock markets go down a little bit. It's
probably because there's a lack of of certainty.
Yeah, they either have a bump or a bump up or a bump down. I think it's a bump down, and we could take this next year and say, oh, look, Trump got elected, the stock markets went down, unless it's egregiously bigger than the previous years.
Or it doesn't recover.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah.
Or it gets worse.
Yeah. Jake reckons that the tweet read around the world that leads to World War III and nuclear war will be an insult on President Trump's tiny hands.
What is the chances of a... How did... Should you take it... I don't know. I'm absolutely... Because I genuinely believe he's a sociopath. I'm not joking. I genuinely believe he is a sociopath.
I wouldn't disagree with you.
For legal reasons, the legal nurse does not support the idea that Donald Trump is a sociopath.
He probably would sue us. Does he listen to many podcasts? Does
he? He tried to sue The Onion... He actually threatened to sue them publicly.
Oh my God, he's going to be president. He's going to be president.
And he also sued Bill Maher, but he dropped the suit after he realized he wouldn't win it, because you can't sue someone for telling a joke about you.
So we were joking.
He will be able to if he changes the libel laws, like he said.
That is
he
something
wants
to. He wants to do,
yeah.
I mean, I lived in a country where until a couple of weeks ago, I couldn't vilify the Catholic Church in any way or any other religion without incurring a fine or prison sentence.
Good. So, that's the way it should be.
Yeah. And the Catholic... No. And the Archbishop tweeted that it was a sad day because degrading God necessarily means to degrading man.
I put my balls on God's chin. There.
I wouldn't want to. I mean, it's all beardy.
And balls or chin?
Why not both?
Yeah. My train of thought is just no.
Well, anyway, we're on questions with.
Yeah. I also asked for doomsday predictions. So the year is 2017, and Hillary Clinton has won the presidency, installing Oprah Winfrey as Speaker of the House. What many do not realize is that Oprah secretly controls Hillary.
You can't install a Speaker of the House. Whoever wrote
Don't bring this in with your logic. Hillary is actually very good friends with. Oprah. They share a personal doctor who's linked to the Maharishma University of Yogic Flyers and believes in a whole bunch of crazy bollocks, such as vaccines cause autism and GMOs are bad for you. That's their personal physician. A little fact for you. Niels is building a nuclear bunker just in case, but he'll only allow one Irish man in there so they don't start a brawl within 5 minutes.
Yep, Irish people together just get on great. You think of the English?
Not when I'm around, they don't.
Fucking English. Divide and conquer.
Sectarian
bastards.
Fires.
Bastards.
Oh, he's from the different side of the wall from you. Brandon says he's a Canadian and he's scared that the square's a carpet of him. He's worried that America will basically crumble. Do you reckon America will crumble?
It could.
It potentially could.
I mean, there could be a brain drain. That's the biggest fear, I would say, because that's the one thing that's kept America afloat. They bring in the smart people.
Uh-huh. That's why I'm going there.
I set you up for that one. That's why I paused. And they, now there are... I mean, I've already seen billboards with both Trump and Hillary on them saying, buying a house in Canada, let me help. I've seen at least two different billboards. I'm not sure if they're from the same realtor or from two different very clever realtors.
Yeah.
And it could be a possibility, but I don't think, even if Trump gets elected or Hillary gets elected, I don't think anything's going to change radically unless Trump actually rips up the Paris Agreement on day one like he says he will.
Which is entirely possible.
And which would be the worst thing, because India just signed on to it.
Day one.
Okay, wait a second. Okay. How do we fix this? How do we fix this system?
Well, what's his name? John Hinckley Jr.?
Uh-huh.
You know who he is, right?
No. It sounds familiar, but I'm not sure. Go ahead, tell me about
it.
See if you make me feel better here, because I'm really...
He was imprisoned for shooting Ronald Reagan because of watching the film Taxi Driver, and he just was released from prison.
Are you suggesting we get John to do it again?
Oh, no. Because he didn't even kill Reagan.
Reagan's was a tough fucker to kill.
So get somebody more competent then, is this what your suggestion is?
Oh no, for explicit reasons, I'm not suggesting that we assassinate any presidential nominees or presidents.
Or candidates.
Or anyone at all. Don't assassinate people, it's a bad thing, unless you're a government and you have a good reason for it, like...
If
there's like somebody who's not selling oil at a reasonable price to Shell, I think maybe that's a good reason to like invade the country.
And we should probably, you know, if Canada keeps acting up, hit Trudeau. America gets most of its oil from Canada anyway.
Mm-hmm. There's a good reason to invade.
Yeah,
they tried it before. They didn't get too far. The rest was just full of poutine and.
Okay. 1812. Oh, wait a second. This is what we need. We need Canada to go burn down the White House again.
Yeah, War of 1812.
Canada, it's up to you. So wait a second. So tell me about this plan you have for John Hinckley.
Oh no! I just want to make sure he has a reality show following him to make sure he doesn't shoot any presidential candidates.
Or no reality show.
So we Truman show him?
I don't want to suggest any assassinations. I don't want to suggest that.
No.
No,
I think the biggest thing that anyone can do is focus on legislative elections, because as long as you have good legislators in place, the president can't do too much. They can fuck up the foreign policy somewhat. They can't make any treaties without the legislature. They can block deployment of troops if they want to in the legislature by saying you haven't officially declared a war, even though they signed over deployment powers in an irrational way for the Iraq War. Which Hillary voted for. And Donald Trump was against, I think, kind of.
Cheryl asked the question, what do you make of the Bernie or Bus crowd?
They have a legitimate reason to be angry.
Yeah.
I would support that if it wasn't Donald Trump.
Yeah.
If it was John Kasich, I would support Bernie or Bust. Yeah. I would say don't vote because Hillary didn't earn it.
Well, Hillary did earn it.
Hillary didn't earn it fairly.
The system's the system. They have a Democratic Party. They can choose who they want to run. They can influence the media. And none of those things is against the rules.
Actually, no, I agree with James. And everybody who's complaining about Brexit still, shut up. Just shut up. Brexit happened. Now you shut up.
But with Bernie or Bust...
No, James, I agree. I'm agreeing with you, James.
Democracy has happened, James.
I totally agree with you. Democracy has happened and everybody needs to shut up now.
I'm not saying these people are being cheated. I'm saying...
They have been cheated. There has been a system.
Okay,
the system
they've been cheated. They've been cheated by the game they decided to play.
Yeah. If the game's already crooked... As I said, in whatever episode we talked about politics, the first time we ever talked about politics, I don't like to vote because the game is fucked up. I'm not going to start shitting into the pot because, it's the right thing to do. Choose between these two shitty candidates. No. Why the fuck should I join in with this?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I don't vote in Malta. I have dual citizenship. I could vote here. I haven't voted in a single election because here the parties are only distinguished by colors and different types of corruption.
Okay, well, let's abandon this here, but how do we make democracy work better?
Education.
But for the to get to the level of accountability, we first need to get like p- people somewhat engaged in this.
Oh, of course, yes.
There will be a... If everyone gets a buzzer, and if 50% of the population push that buzzer, the politician, a little thing in the back of the head, explodes.
Class. I love this.
That would work. Right away, you fix everything.
But then we'd only get suicidal politicians.
Even better. Jesus, that sounds like my favorite type of politician.
Yeah.
This actually sounds like a great cyberpunk concept.
It's... Okay, because at the moment what we have is... We don't have like the best people for the job. We have the best people who are... The people who are best at getting elected.
Yeah.
And we keep saying that it's... That it's okay, or the general public don't want to be engaged in politics, but that's okay because they're busy and they're doing other things, and we've hired the
They don't really understand what's going on anyway.
That's not an excuse for us, because we live in a world with global warming, we live in a world with genetically modified foods and nuclear weapons.
These things are complicated.
We need to be engaged.
And we live in a world when it's been easier than ever before to get informed.
Yes.
No, it's been easier than ever to get misinformed.
Well, it's both.
I'd say I'd lean towards easier to get informed now.
Nah.
It's always been pretty easy to get misinformed.
I suppose. It doesn't take much to be misinformed.
It was always... If someone said, look at this old desert book, it's always true. You couldn't really say anything. But I think part of it has to come from the media. The media either has to be regulated or held to account.
No, you're against free speech.
No, fuck the media.
Get him off the podcast. He's against free speech.
The media is corrupt. The media is...
And this guy's against Israel. Listen to him. He thinks the media is corrupt.
Buck.
You anti-Semite.
Buck, the Jews don't use the blood of Gentile children for their matzah.
I'll show you a website later on. I'm proud of the day. But no, okay, right. We have a manufactured consent to use the name of a good book. Where we have like this perceived idea where we have a balanced and fair media who are going after the politicians, doing the right things, and the reality is a lot of the stories that are coming out now would not have come out a couple of generations ago, pre-internet. The media would have done whatever they had to do to you know, because the media want in with the politicians and they want to go to the dinners and they want to have the first stories. The reality is, with the Edward Snowden stories, there were stories of torture pre-Snowden that were just buried. The media got the stories and just held on to them, talked to the government and says, okay, we're going to have to release these at some point.
There was Abu Ghraib before that. I mean,
six months. They held on to that. The New York Times held on to the Abu Ghraib story for 6 months until after the election.
Yeah, and that... There's some really... I mean, basically what I think is just more transparency and education are the only possible solutions.
Yeah.
If not, I will take over. I'll take over.
Only after the gladiatorial combat.
Yeah, I'm a big guy. Good with my hands.
I hear the guy that plays the mountain on Game of Thrones is actually really smart.
So you think it's... Okay, first of all, right, can he fight? This is the thing, he lifts stuff.
Oh, there's a video of him like sparring with Conor McGregor.
I seen it, aye, but like he's just bigger. You put the mountain and fuck with Brock Lesnar in the fucking octagon for a minute, and he's getting choked out.
I don't know if even Brock Lesnar can reach up that high enough though.
You just need to. Lesnar is superb on the ground. Jesus Christ!
But I don't think he can get him on the ground.
Lesnar would this is the thing, right? The mountain is big and all the rest, but he's... He doesn't wrestle, as far as I'm aware. And if he doesn't wrestle, Lesnar would get a leg and he would be down like that there. I'd say, genuinely, I would give the mountain like 30 seconds before he'd tap out against Lesnar.
But anybody
in that weight division, like you take Mark Hall or whatever as well.
That'd be it. Be over. I've got one last question before you start talking about wrestling. Deanna asked three questions. You only get one, Deanna. We're running late. Also, what do you think of accusations of Trump being racist? Being against illegal immigrants isn't racist.
Against illegal immigrants, suggesting that they're all rapists.
Suggesting
that Mexicans specifically are mostly racist.
Yeah.
But some are probably good.
But some, I mean, are probably also, good. Donald even, Trump is a loathsome cunt.
Regardless of that, he has been on record as saying that it's true that he didn't want to have a black accountant because he thinks black people are lazy.
His specific words were he doesn't want tall black guys counting his money. Yeah. He wants short guys in yarmulkes.
Yeah, that's it's fairly racist. And, why are people talking about the doomsday? The press isn't that powerful. The president isn't that powerful. And what about everyone calling their...
Yes, he is. He can launch nukes.
He can literally launch nuclear weapons. That's extremely powerful.
But I have to agree with Diana here that this isn't... That it'd be very unlikely that Trump will cause some sort of doomsday apocalypse.
I mean, no, he'll make sure, things really shitty, though.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's someone in the Oval Office who will just pull out a handgun and shoot in the back of the head before he presses the nuke button.
But this is sort of your issue. It's how many other periods, times we can point to, oh, this is where the dictator took over and fucked everything up.
Took away the civil liberties. He said, as grass swells from the ground, they take the liberty back. This is a populist movement. Where are their liberties, Buck?
I didn't say it always works out well, but this is where liberties come from.
You said I just need one example.
Last question before you Chairman Mao, that was also a populist movement.
Yeah, yeah. There's a guy, Pol Pot, he did a pretty good thing. He killed all the...
people with glasses, fuck those guys.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm wearing glasses right now.
Well, Pol Pot would have knew what to do with you.
What do you think of Hillary's insistence on playing the woman card? I'm not going to read the next bit. That's just rude. What do you think of Hillary insisting on playing the woman card? I actually haven't seen
of
it.
She literally
made a woman card to send to her supporters.
Really?
Yes.
Shit.
It was like thing.
They keep saying I'm part of the establishment. How can I be establishment? I'm a woman. Ah, you supported Iraq, you cunt.
I was only the Secretary of State under Obama.
My husband was only the president. She's just so excruciatingly establishment. She is just...
Is she a woman? That's the question.
That is the question. She is so white, such a white bread politician.
White bread has more charisma.
Yeah, is any human being lacking that much charisma?
Like, what's wrong with Bill Clinton? I saw a speech he gave.
Has charisma. Hillary has no charisma.
Bill oozed with charisma, and you.
He's
let
got
him
so
away.
Old though.
Yeah.
I saw him at the Hillary's thing, and he was like,
he's like, yeah, he can hardly lift up his thumb.
Yeah, he's doing this with his hand. You kids with your.
Well, that was what he always did. It's CEO hands, they call it.
Yeah, but it was just something about the way he was like,
he might have a touch of the Parkinson's.
You heard what's Hillary's Pokemon?
No.
Oh.
Statement?
I don't...
No.
Oh, okay, right. Okay, we'll say it here, but I think it should be edited in here at some point. But she goes, what's with this Pokemon Go? I'd like someone to make a Pokemon Go to the polls.
Oh.
It was the most cringe-inducing thing imaginable. It was just, you have no charisma. You have just, like, and I don't mind politicians with no charisma. I don't mind that. But it's been a corporate shill, been as establishment be, being as white bread a politician as be, and having, like, no charisma. Having absolutely nothing. Make Marco Polio and Ted Cruz, the Zodiac Killer. You make, like, pot up against them, Hillary looks bad. Like, I mean, like, that's...
Yeah. And Ted Cruz has a scientifically proven punchable face. Because someone actually did, like, an article on why there are such a thing as punchable faces. Like, faces that just irritate you. But Hillary makes David Icke's theory that all the leaders are reptilians seem logical.
And on that note, I think it's time to call this podcast to an end. So, Luca, if people want to find you, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter or YouTube as My Thousand Faces. Or on the Whenever Buck Releases It Things I Find Interesting podcast.
Yeah. There's things that I find interesting is coming out next week with Concordance.
No, that by the time This will come out after that.
Oh, is it coming out after that? Yeah,
Your episode's coming out this week. It was a month ago. It's all right.
That's a month. Jeez, we'll be dead soon.
Yeah, never. One day. Apart from me, I'll be my gold cloak in the sun. Philosophizing.
Donald Trump by your side.
I'll be in Malta. Donald Trump can't find it on a map.
Aye, but the nuclear winter won't spare you there.
Oh, it's already really hot here most of the year. It'll probably get down to zero. We'll be fine.
Well, nice view. I'm going to go get some powdered milk. Wait somewhere safe.
You're allergic to milk.
Ah, oh, fuck, I forgot that.
Suicide plan. It's to shit yourself to death.
Just makes me a bit flammy, to be fair.
Buck, where can people find you drinking milk and regretting it?
They can find me at that buck gay, or that gay buck, one of the two, I can never remember, on
that
Twitter.
That guy.
And, go say nice things to me there.
Fantastic. All right. On that note, thanks for listening, everyone. If you want to leave us a review on iTunes or on YouTube, do so. Let us know how we fucked up talking about democracy and we alienated the people who didn't agree with us on both sides. I think the take-home message is Republicans and Democrats are both shit. So, good night.
This is genuinely depressing, this episode.